Holy Spirit, as you have been present with us in worship, in our lives, in baptism, and in your word, come now especially in your word. Show us what you have for us today. Teach us to be more like the one who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Eric Weihenmayer is an athlete. He's a mountain climber, an adventurer, but he is all of those things with one very serious disadvantage. Eric is blind. But despite that, on May 21st, 2001, so 15 years ago, he became the first blind person to climb Mount Everest. Hard enough for people with all of their faculties, even more so for him. Suffering from a degenerative eye disease, he lost his sight when he was 13, but decided that wasn't going to stop him from adventuring. And he has since he climbed Everest in 2001, he has climbed the seven highest peaks on each continent in the world. Very few people have done that. On Mount Everest, 90% of the people that start climbing never make it to the top. And many of those, or a number of those, I should say, 165 have died since trying in 1953. And yet Eric succeeded. Why? In large part, he succeeded because he listened. What did he listen to? He listened to that little bell that was tied to the back of the climber in front of him so he knew what direction to go. He also listened to the voice of teammates who would shout, literally shout these words back to him, "Death fall 2 feet to your right." So he knew not to go 2 feet to the right. He listened to the sound of his pick jabbing the ice so he knew if it was safe to cross. So when we take a perilous journey or when we're just living life, I think listening well can make all the difference. So Jesus and his disciples, they're on their way, and that in Luke is code for on their way to Jerusalem. He's traveling from the north down south on his way to Jerusalem, to what happens there. And he comes to a village where a woman named Martha opens her home to him, which had been happening. People have been doing that for Jesus throughout his ministry. And she had a sister named Mary, who it says sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha, it says, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, then finally to Jesus, and asked, strangely now in this story, he's never referred to as Jesus, but he's always Lord. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Wait, just one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that. And it will never be taken away from her. How good are you at stopping? How good are you at stopping, sitting, and listening to Jesus? How good are you at putting down the to-do list, putting down the remote or the smartphone or whatever it is, and simply be with Jesus? Sitting with Jesus, listening to Jesus. Jesus himself and his life and his words are that one thing needed for life, for eternal life, for true life now, for peace with God and for peace for living. And yet, that one thing we need, if everything else gets taken away, we just have that one thing, Jesus, it is enough. And yet, it can seem so hard to come by, can't it? If I were to ask you how you were doing, just in a casual conversation, what's one of the first words that would probably come out of your mouth? If I say, hey, how are you doing lately? Hey, how's life going? How's summer going? How's school? Or whatever it is in the season. I guarantee most of you will say this one word somewhere in the next sentence or two. What is that word? What did you say? Fine. Good. Busy. Right? How many of us would in some way say, oh, it's good, but it's busy. Yeah. We don't have time for sitting. We don't have time for relaxing. We don't have time for praying or reading God's word. We don't have time to handwrite letters. Of course not. or even return phone calls, or we don't have time to exercise or read or sit on the hammock for an afternoon. Yet I always make time for, you know, Facebook, email, TV, Pokemon, or whatever it is of the day. We overestimate the value of being busy, and we underestimate the value of stopping. And we think that if we're doing something, we must be important, and if we're not busy, we're not accomplishing, therefore we're less valuable. And we overestimate the value of being busy, and we underestimate the value of resting, of sitting with Jesus and doing exactly what Mary did, listen. And frankly, our busyness is killing us. And there are many studies out there, you can find them pretty easily, to show that as Americans particularly overwork, the negative effects it has on us. It's killing our relationships with others. It can kill our creativity. It's killing our solitude. It's killing our souls. It's killing our prayer. And it's killing our ability to listen to Jesus, who alone has come to give you true life. It's Jesus that wants to sit with you. It's Jesus that wants to feed you and to say again how much he loves you. It's Jesus that wants to reach out those hands that still have scars that are yet healed from his death and resurrection and hold you. Now, I should say, though, if we are talking about overcrowding our lives and being overbusy and overloaded and overworked, pastors are by no means immune. And in fact, pastors are often very big offenders. And sadly, last week, there was another sad example of a pastor who was let go from his church, in his own words, essentially for not being Mary and sitting and listening to Jesus. His name was Perry Noble, and he was the founding pastor of New Spring Church in South Carolina, one of the biggest in the country. It went from zero to 32,000 people in worship over across 11 campuses under his leadership. And they've reached many people with the good news of Jesus, many people. And he is known for being a great leader, is an outstanding speaker, and written a number of books. But as pressure mounted and workload increased and emotional weight got heavier and heavier, in his own words, he says, "I turned to the wrong place for comfort." Instead of sitting with Jesus, instead of listening to Jesus, he turned somewhere else. And over time, busyness grew, stress mounted, expectations got higher and higher, and the church announced last Sunday that he would be removed from the church. And these are his own words that he freely shared in writing and in a Facebook message. He said, "First, I've never had a problem drinking alcohol socially, but in the past year or so, I've allowed myself to slide into the overuse. He said, this was a spiritual and moral mistake on my part because I began to depend on alcohol for my refuge instead of Jesus. In stress, I ran to it instead of running to Jesus." Then in a video I saw that he posted, he went on to tell everybody, say, "If you're watching this, go be in worship with Jesus on Sunday." He said, "That's where my family's going to be, and that's where I wish I could be if he wasn't in a treatment facility at the time." I think Jesus is saying to Mary and to Martha and to you and to me, I think Jesus is saying that you need to balance your doing with your being. That's why I think the Good Samaritan story is exactly before this story. You can't pull them apart. Jesus, in very strong words, says, love your neighbor, love even your enemy at great cost to yourself. Yes, that's what it means to follow Jesus. Doing is important, but don't lose sight of being, of sitting and being with your Savior. You see, Mary sits at Jesus' feet like a disciple. She listens, she learns, she communes in a sense. And yet Martha is also doing a good thing. We can often give her a bad rap. Hospitality is important, and especially in the Middle Eastern world then and now. She's hosting Jesus. Her work and work itself is very important. And caring for people is very, very important. Jesus is not telling Martha that cooking or hosting or cleaning or serving or whatever your work is, he's not saying that those are bad. He's simply saying you have to balance your doing with your being. Your working and your worshiping. Your standing and your sitting. Your service and your reflection. Or your action and your contemplation. So if you and I don't turn our phone off or ever close down the computer or set aside the to-do list just to be with Jesus, I think in some ways our doing won't be all that helpful. Before we can serve, we need to be served by Jesus. And I wonder when I see we live in a bit of an age of instant rage. People can be angry and rageful about everything very, very, very quick. I just wonder if that has something to do with not being able to just sit and be. Well-known artist Makoto Fujimura, who's known for paintings, particularly of the Gospels in an abstract way, very great artist, wrote on a blog once, he said, "Perhaps the greatest thing we can do as a Christian community is to simply behold. Behold our God. Go outside, behold God's creation." Or as the scriptures say about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold Jesus. And what are some things that Jesus has said to you? Jesus has said, "Come to me, all you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest." Jesus has said, "Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus also said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Or, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and them with me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never thirst. The water I will give will become in them a spring of water bubbling up to eternal life." And finally, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I don't give you peace that the world gives. No, I give you my own peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So, this week, take your schedule and clear it on out, because you might have some important listening to do. Amen.